Welcome. This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. We continue on, in spite of distractions. Hello? Testing? Testing? Can you hear me
I'm
now?
I'm sorry. Yes. I was playing Angry Birds.
Are you with me? Breathe, John. Breathe. Are you with me?
I'm okay. I'm here. Let me sure I got my headphones on right.
You never know how this program may begin. Left, right. No, not front to back.
No.
Side to side.
That's right.
Always something different with you.
Yeah.
Okay. A man who believes in experimentation when it comes to live radio, Pastor Jolly John Lukansky, right, is my guest this morning from St. Paul Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church, one in, of all places, as I mentioned, Darmstadt, Germany.
That's right. No, it's Darmstadt, Illinois.
Oh, that's quite a commute.
We get a lot of confusion with that.
Really? Well, have you got a castle on the hill also over in Darmstadt?
Well.
You know, that's the thing about Germany. You cannot turn and spit without hitting a castle somewhere.
That's right. Yeah.
So if you're gonna call yourself Darmstadt, you better have a castle.
We got a big pole barn. Would that qualify?
White castle. you should lobby that.
I got a white castle. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pastor John Lukansky, other than being a great parish pastor, is the senior half of Wrestling with the Basics.
Right.
Every Saturday,
yes.
The party begins at 9:05.
Along with Matt Youngblood Clark.
Who?
Matt Youngblood.
Never
Clark.
Heard of him.
Never heard
he?
Of him. No.
No?
Well, you have to listen in and find
will.
Out.
No, of course we know who he is. He does the Bible study every once in a while.
Yeah, he's on here too.
So what is new in the world of John Lukansky?
Summer's coming to an end. I guess that's the
officially
the big
this
thing.
Weekend. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it'll be confirmation and all of that routine. Sunday school will be starting again.
The Advent before you know it.
It will be, and then it'll be Lent, and we'll be back.
Back to
another
cycle
summer.
Again. Yeah, another summer.
The older I get, the quicker time just keeps flying.
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you consider that when you're four.
Yes.
One year is a quarter of your life.
That's right.
Or you're 20% getting there to five.
Yeah. I actually read a study that said that's exactly what it was. By the time you get my age, you've got so much, it really doesn't seem like a whole lot. But you're right. When you're 4 year old, like say a quarter of your life.
Really?
So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, look at this. Now, I normally say this for a little bit later in the program, but this is important because, well, people around the world listen to this broadcast, and it is a humbling thing to know where some of the places are that they are listening, because they're not very safe places.
No, that's true.
For Christians.
Yeah.
I have heard from the big office down the hall, and the official word is right now 32 states.
Yeah.
What is it, 57? Is that what we're up to now? Where are the rest of you?
I think it's holding at 50 the last time. <I learned.
laughs> 32 states, including Blacksburg, Virginia, Nashville, Tennessee, and Bluffton, South Carolina. But that's Bluffton, but that's not what's impressive here.
What is
among
impressive,
the countries really? Online right now? 11 countries. Italy's online.
Is that right?
Albania is online.
The Albanians love
Albanians.
Me.
Albania.
You probably know this
Albania.
Is Spike.
You border on the Adriatic. Remember that? That was from Cheers. That was Coach. Now you remember your geography. You make up little songs. But this is the important one. All kidding aside, this is one when you talk about praying for the persecuted church somewhere. In Egypt, they are listening to us right now.
Is that right? Isn't that incredible with all the problems they got going on?
God bless our brothers and sisters in Egypt.
Yeah.
Syria, things going on there. You know, we're having some fun here, but you know, I'm sorry to be a bit of a wet blanket for a moment. But this means a lot to me because I don't hear a lot of the American church crying out over what's going on in the world. And maybe I'm just a weird guy. Maybe I've hung out with Pastor Lukansky too much and I'm becoming strange.
That'll do it to you.
But you have taught me to focus on the good side of theology and also the serious side of theology. Yep. And the serious side is persecution comes. And look at the text we have today. This is quite a contrast. Live in harmony with one another.
Wait a second.
That's part of your text.
I have
Romans 4, verses 9 to 15.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's
you
part
didn't
of
notice that?
I didn't notice that.
Grant that you... No, really? You know, it pays to read ahead. Well, anyway, for everyone online and listening by terrestrial broadcast, we welcome you this morning to the Bible study. We pray for you, and we think about you. At least some of us do. Well, broadly, the church does. So for you in Egypt, Syria, wherever else you may be listening, maybe under cover of darkness or hidden somewhere away in a small room where no one else can hear you, Thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah, and it is a blessing that we can share the good news of God's love and mercy and his faithfulness in the face of some really, really difficult situations. I don't know that we fully appreciate the great comfort that's found in the scripture because, like you say, we have it so easy. The words that were written here were written in the same kind of situation where a lot of people would find it a very risky business in order to be Christians.
So. Yeah, there's an article in the paper this morning about it's a synopsis of a story that she's written about a Pakistani woman falsely accused of blaspheming the prophet. Prison for 4 years, beaten to within an inch of her life. All she has to do is convert.
Yeah.
Just convert and become a good Muslim. That's what they have said. She says no.
No. See, there you go. How about that? Where she would we stand if that was that
free
situation?
Woman. She'd be restored. Yeah. Everything would be returned to her. Yeah. All she has to do is deny Christ.
Yeah.
Won't do it.
No. No, well, there you go. And that's a tremendous act of courage. That's that heroic faith. I was talking with Randy last week on his morning at Shindig, and we were talking about the faith there, and it is that heroic faith that is a gift of God. And the Lord bestows that because, let's face it, none of us would have the strength to do that kind of stuff on our own. Mm. So.
Yeah, I don't know that. I'm grateful that that I was not placed in Pakistan.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't know that I had the strength of this
Well, morning. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm probably thinking that's why the Lord put me in Darmstadt, Illinois, because he knew that I would just not have the strength, and he really does love me and wants me to be his servant. And so the people that can do that, he allows them in those situations so they can be a witness to him in all cases. And then the weaklings like me, he puts someplace safe so that I can be protected as well. So, yeah.
Well, if you would be so kind, let's begin with prayer.
Sure. Oh, Lord, we do. We thank you for this wonderful passage that reminds us how it is that we become your people. May it be a source of strength and comfort to us and a help to us in our day-to-day lives, because we have our struggles, too. We may not be persecuted outwardly for our faith, but in this world, in this country particularly, we are faced with all kinds of very, very strong temptations that would also seek to lead us away from you. So let this word of God then be a source of strength to our faith and a love to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can reach us here in the St. Louis metro area at 821-0850. If that doesn't work, try the 800 number. It works from pretty much everywhere. 1-800-730-2727. Don't forget the email if you happen to be someplace overseas.
Yeah.
And you'd like to contact us, just say hi, good afternoon, good morning, whatever
and
it may
we
be.
We love that. We
just
love
let
that.
Us know where you are. We'd love to greet you warmly over the air. Reach us at KFUO@KFUO.org. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on the Facebook.
Are we on Facebook now?
We have been for a while, John.
Oh, is that right?
We have been. You know, matter of fact, I promoted you yesterday. I promoted you today. Thanks for checking. All the effort I put out. I'm really trying to impress you, you know, because we're talking about all these good works, you know, how we have to do all these good works. That's what we've talked about for the last 3 weeks, right?
Is that right?
Is that what Romans has been about, or have I missed something?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
You haven't been paying attention. Well, look, Romans chapter 4, 9 to 15, which you so graciously prayed about it being a great text.
Yes. Yeah, which, finally
which,
you
since
gave
you
me a
haven't,
text that
Since
I
you
like.
Haven't read it, I'm wondering how you make
well,
such
no,
a claim.
I've read it. In fact, I actually learned something. I always love it when you give me a text where I'm going to learn something, and I learned something that's new for me, so I'm excited to do with this.
Well, today's text, Romans 4, verses 9 to 15, begins at verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus.
No, I'm sorry, Romans.
What?
I'm totally confused.
Are you? What, did I get the wrong text?
I think you got the wrong text. What
Did
text
I?
Were you supposed to do today?
I thought it was 9 to 15.
And what chapter?
4.
Okay, my chapter 4 says, verse 9, is this blessing then only for the circumcised?
Ah.
Have we got different Bibles?
I don't know. I may have... Well, you know, it's been a busy week, John.
I guess it has.
Well, let's just set my decks aside.
You got a Bible
Reach over here. Wait a minute. There may be a translation error here. But then again, you could be pulling my leg because you said you didn't read the text.
No, I did read the text, and that's why you were saying this thing about harmony. I was thinking, I don't remember that, and it was only 6 verses. I would think I would.
This is a first, I think, for the Bible study, isn't it?
Well, for you, I mean, often I've come in
and studied the wrong text,
but this is unusual for you because you actually do prep for this.
I do.
What happened? Was it the wrong chapter you had to roll in?
You know, I may have gone completely in the wrong direction here.
We are doing Romans,
no,
right?
I don't know. What the heck? Pick a book. Spin the big wheel of what's happening now, and let's pick a Bible chapter.
That's what we really ought to do.
All right. Romans chapter 4, right? We're supposed to be doing 9 to 15. I know that much.
Yeah.
So let's begin at verse 9 then.
Okay.
Oh, it looks like you're right.
Okay,
not that I ever doubted you.
You were scaring me.
No.
So, but now I am intrigued to see
where in the world did I come up with this?
Where did you get that? Yeah.
I don't know. Is it even in the Bible? We'll find out later.
we'll have to look it up. During the break.
What I do is I go to Bible Gateway and I put the text in.
Oh, well,
and
there
I just
you
assume
go.
That what seriously,
yeah,
whatever it spits back. That's,
somebody messed
that's
up
what
in
I
Bible
go with.
Gateway.
All right. Now, I'm reading the tiny print, regular sized edition of the Lutheran Study Bible.
Yes. Do you want the large print?
No, please. It weighs about 600 pounds.
I know.
You'd strain yourself. You'll hurt yourself.
I don't have my hernia belt on. So, okay.
Now, we go verse at a time anyway, so this will be great.
This will be fine.
All right. For
and
the problem,
this I actually have read.
This actually is verse 9 to 15, chapter 4 of Romans, which is exactly where we started. No, zero defects. We are right on course.
Right on course.
For the promise to Abraham and to his offspring that he would be heir of the world.
No, wait a second.
Word?
Verse 9, right? We're starting with verse 9.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we're at the top of the page. This is... It's the small print version, John.
That's what it is. I understand that. It's hard to see, Roland.
Now I know why I've never been on Wrestling with the Basics. I'm just not professional enough for what you guys do. All right. Verse 9. Here we go. Is this the blessing? See, it's close. Promise, blessing. Yeah. You get me confused. You use these words interchangeably.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness.
All right, let me kind of lay out the
background. Now, wait, let me mark this in the book here so I know where to begin and where to end. Get a big arrow. You see what I'm putting out? Okay.
And you know, I'm really laughing at this because I don't know. See, people don't realize that you come in here and Roland has read over these texts. He's studied them. He's got pages and pages of questions.
Honestly. You know what think I did? I think.
What did you do?
You know, Monday's a holiday.
Yeah.
And I think what I did was I may have brought the wrong lesson in. That's the text.
Okay.
I am prepped. It's future. Ignore everything you've read on Facebook. Oh. It'll apply to Monday.
Roland, I just want you to sit back and relax. I'll take care of you today. You know, that's pretty much how it is when I come
in. Yeah.
Why you even bother to prepare when I'm coming
in?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Take a day off. Take a vacation. Here's the context of what we got going on here. I was thinking about this. What if I would come up to you, because you're a good lifelong Christian, Roland, and I would say, I got a new revelation about Jesus Christ. God came to me. He gave me some new information about Jesus Christ.
I have received a word.
And I think your response would be, well, okay, I'm a little uncomfortable at that very concept, but as long as whatever you tell me about Jesus agrees with what I already have in the previous revelation, then I'm okay, right?
Hmm.
Paul himself says, do not believe anyone who teaches you a new gospel. But if people come along with new stuff and it matches up and fits with what we had before, well, then there's no problem with that. We will accept that. In fact, here's the irony. We forget to see that that's exactly what the Bible is. The Bible is a series of successive revelations about Jesus Christ. I talked to David Scare at Concord. Does he ever get him on here from Fort Wayne?
Time and again,
yeah. Yeah, but, yeah. And he'll point out to you that what happens is a guy wrote something. Let's say one of the Gospels. Let's say it's Matthew. And then maybe Luke came along and said, well, people aren't understanding what Matthew says. I understand what Matthew says, but people aren't understanding what Matthew says. So I'm going to explain it a little better when I write my Gospel. And that's kind of Scare's theory, that each of these books kind of builds upon the other books and is trying to fulfill things, clarify things, make people have an understanding of the whole counsel of God. Okay. So back to my original premise, someone comes to you and says, hey, I got some more stuff here about Jesus. And you're going to say, well, I can accept that as long as it's in agreement with what I already know about Jesus. Now, if it's going to start teaching me that Jesus is not the savior of the world or something, then I would think, nah, like Paul says, do not believe any. If someone would teach you another gospel, may they be anathema.
Hmm.
See, what we forget, this is exactly what Paul's doing. Paul's coming to the Jewish people and he's saying, look, I'm not giving you a new God. In fact, I am coming to give you a fuller revelation of the God you have believed in from your childhood on. But if Paul's going to do that, then he has to prove, he has to show by the revelation of the Old Testament that what he's saying is still fundamentally the same, that the God as described there is not a different kind of God. He's not the Muslim God. He's not the Mormon God, because those gods are essentially fundamentally different than the God that is revealed in the Old Testament. And that's what we got going on here. All right. So here's the issue that Paul's dealing with. First of all, we know that Abraham has a what? What's it say there in verse 9? He's got a what? He has a blessing.
Yes.
And you know what the blessing is? And again, this is coming right out of the Old Testament. This sounds really New Testament-y. Is that a word? New Testament-y?
New Testamentonian?
It has New Testament-y.
New Testament.
It is the New Testament flavor.
Guaranteed fresher breath.
That's right. But here's the blessing. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. So pretty straightforward. The blessing that God gives, it was this way in the Old Testament, is the blessing of forgiveness, the covering up of sin. This is the blessing. Your mouth is holding open there. Do you have a question or concern?
No, just the all right. Flies. Don't worry about it.
All right. So the issue that Paul wants to address in this set of few short verses is,
yes,
how do you get the blessing? Who does it belong to? Does it belong to the circumcised? Is that what it is? If you've been circumcised, then you know you have no iniquity, that God has forgiven you. Or is there something else that bestows upon you this blessing that God forgives your transgression?
So Paul is still battling with the Judaizers here.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Although, like I said, it's beyond the Judaizers, because he's essentially trying to say to all the Jews he's talking to, now the Judaizers have taken a position on this issue, but he's really addressing all Jews to say, let's think about it. Let's go back to the scripture and see if we can understand what the scripture is teaching us. And if indeed the Judaizers are right, that forgiveness and the blessing is a consequence of circumcision, well, then I've got a big problem. And then you shouldn't be listening to me at all, because obviously I'm wrong. But we want to know what the Bible teaches, not what the Judaizers
right.
teach. And of course, the crucial thing he says here, we say, see, this is my opinion. Paul's telling you what he thinks. But you're left to judge now on the basis of scripture whether he's right or wrong, which I really like this.
Yeah,
see,
because
I think that's how we should do it. We come and say, this is where we stand. You check it out in the Bible and see if it's true. Okay.
This is much better than the text I'd written down.
Is it much better?
It is. I'm enjoying it much more.
Okay.
Well, why is it that all religions, and I'll throw some sects of Christianity in there, it's all about works. It's all about what you do. It's all about getting circumcised, so to speak.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, that's because it's the fundamental difference. See, I love the guy that comes along and says, well, you know, basically all religions are alike. And my answer to that is, you're absolutely right. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Mormon, you can be a Buddhist. It all comes down to a list of things you need to do, and when you do them, you will gain God's approval and some kind of eternal blessing or consequence from it. You are absolutely right. All religions are alike. That's why Christianity, in a technical sense, isn't really a religion, because Christianity is opposite. It's absolutely the opposite of it, because Christianity proposes, as Paul says here, faith is what gets counted as righteousness. Nothing that you do, absolutely no ceremony, no ritual, not even any moral work. It is purely by faith. That's the only thing that gives you righteousness.
Hmm.
And now, of course, now, as Lutherans, of course, we're getting really uncomfortable, because we tell people they ought to be baptized. And they ought to go to the Lord's Supper. Oh, so maybe we're not as Christian as we think we are, but we'll unpack that. Okay.
Well, want to talk about women's ordination while we're at it?
Well, yeah. So there you go. We got all these things you're supposed to do. But we need to understand what that's all about. That's all about.
God appoints these days to humble the radio host. I appreciate that.
And you know what, Roland? All kidding aside, that is what's great about this. I hope you look at this and say, the Lord was just reminding you,
absolutely,
you are his servant. That's what you
and
are.
And just as I was starting to feel good about myself, too. Yeah. Well, what is the purpose of works then? I've asked this of almost every pastor that's come in as we've been going through Romans. You started on that path about baptism and, you know, Lord's Supper and all that. Those are not works, are they works?
Okay. Okay. Do you mind? Let's let Paul explore this with us rather before you give me what I think. Mm-hmm. We'll let Paul explore this a little further. Focusing on the issue, is circumcision the thing that brings you the blessing of forgiveness? Is that the thing? And Paul's saying, my opinion is that faith is counted as forgiveness.
Because he was a pagan who first received the gift of faith and then was circumcised.
That's right.
You got to get the order right.
You got to get the order right. And that's what Paul's going to say in the next verses. Although I would want to point this out, and here's really neat. See, if you can do this, then how can anyone defeat you in an argument? Because when Paul says, we say that faith was counted as righteousness, Paul doesn't say that. No, that's what it says in Genesis 15:6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Okay.
So who is we?
Well, I think Paul is talking about the Christians and himself as the one called by God to proclaim the gospel to the Jews and especially to the Gentiles, which, of course, is where the rub is here, isn't it, Roland?
Yeah.
Because do the Gentiles need to start jumping through the Jewish hoops in order that they can know that they are forgiven and that they are God's people? And you brought up the issue of the Judaizers, of course, because they said, of course they have to. This was an everlasting covenant. I remember God saying that quite clearly. And Paul's pointed out, yeah, but the Bible also said that Abraham was righteous not by being circumcised, but by believing. All right, you want to read on, really? Because you actually laid out Paul's first and greatest argument against the fact that you have to be circumcised.
How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was small print. I apologize. I got the glasses on. Normally I print this out in like super jumbo print.
16-point there.
40 wasn't bad. 50 and beyond has been interesting.
Wait till you get to be 60, Roland.
Yeah. Oh, my. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision.
Stop. Because this next verse about receiving the sign, that was the new stuff for me. And so I want to just hold that back a little bit because there's some really exciting things. At least it was exciting for me. It's so simple. I'm sorry. This is not a complicated text. Paul says, think about it. When was Abraham justified? He was long before he was circumcised. In fact, I don't know. I read two different commentaries. I got two different dates. One said, I think, 17 years. Another said it was like 23 years. I'm not sure how they're counting years. But the point is it was long before he was circumcised that he was already God's righteous man. Galatians 3:17, Paul says, this is what I mean, the law which came 430 years afterward. So we didn't actually get the commandments that you and I are talking about and thinking about, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, until 430 years after Abraham was blessed. And he says that does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. So Paul's argument is just really, really simple. He was already righteous. He was already justified. He was already forgiven. He was blessed by God long before God came up with the whole business of being circumcised. So apparently, no, you don't have to be circumcised to have the blessing of forgiveness. What you do need, however, is the gift of faith. That is true. There does need to be faith. Now, when we come back, what do we got? A minute?
You've got about a minute.
I got a minute. Okay. Well, then we'll set it up for when we come back. So why circumcision then? All right? If it's not the thing that saves us, why in the world did God have Abraham be circumcised? He already had faith, forgiveness, righteousness, so why circumcise? And then, more directly, talking to you and me. If indeed you Lutherans are right, that you're saved by faith alone, right? Isn't that what you say all the time, you Lutheran? Why then do people have to get baptized? And why should we take the Lord's Supper and all this other stuff? Because it's just by faith. Have you not now added a whole series of works? So when we come back, we'll wrestle with... Wait a minute.
Wrong program. Bible study.
Sorry. That's right. That's on Saturday mornings at 9:05.
9:05. You don't want to miss it with Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
But here in the morning at 10, we'll talk about what circumcision is and then how that relates to what baptism is for us as Christians.
You struck upon the conundrum. Is it about believing or is it about doing?
Yeah, and it's actually somewhere... a third thing.
A third thing.
A third thing.
821-0850. 1-800-730-2727. Join us. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. We'll be right back. Stick around.
When it comes to financial security, there's one name you should know, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans.
You have a unique way of looking at the world. So do we. We're a faith-based membership organization that exists to serve our members.
Our focus is on helping you be wise with money,
live generous lives, and thrive.
To find a Thrivent Financial representative near you, call 314-783-4200. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. What makes Thrivent Financial for Lutherans a strong financial services organization is what has made us strong for generations. Things like holding firm to our values, keeping our promises, and offering quality products that meet the needs of our members, wherever they are in life. Strong today, strong tomorrow. Committed to meeting your needs. Contact Thrivent Financial today at 314-783-4200. Registered representatives for securities offered through Thrivent Investment Management Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
What does it mean to watch movies with a Lutheran worldview? Hi, I'm Andy Bates. On the next Faith and Family, we'll continue our discussion on movies. On Tuesday, we'll discuss the relationship between faith, film, and the university with campus pastor Eric Andre of First Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Join us Tuesday at 11 for the next Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin.
It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO. We are in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 to 15.
It was Romans 15. That's the passage.
Verses 4
you
to 9.
So
that's
your
what
computer
I,
that's, messed
that's
you
right.
up.
I,
yes.
That's what you get when you cut and paste.
you cannot rely on the computer.
But the nice thing is my outline notes are correct for the text.
Isn't that
I
right?
I just pasted. So, I did that.
You just
and I
got the wrong text
in real
in
quick.
There. Okay.
And, keystroke errors. That's what we'll blame.
There you go.
Pastor John Lukumsky is here. You don't want to miss him with Pastor Clark with Wrestling with the Basics every Saturday morning at 9:05 right here on KFUO.
And we're tweeters, too. I should mention that. So go to Gospel WWB. Get on the old www.tweet.com and follow us. Follow us. And you know, we're having a lot of fun with that.
You know, how you kill these trendy things
among the cool kids? How?
When old guys like you and me start doing it.
Start using it. Yeah, that's right.
Have you noticed all the women over 50 getting tattoos? Not cool anymore.
Not cool.
Not cool anymore. No. So.
Well, you know, for the sake of our young people, I wish the women over 50 had started doing that some time ago.
Oh, my word. Well, anyway, we are in Romans chapter 4, verses 9 to 15. And as we went to the break, I said, there is the conundrum. Pastor Lukumsky, you've set it up beautifully. Is it about doing or is it about believing?
Right, right. And, of course, Paul has established from the beginning, we say that faith was counted. So it is about believing. But see, then we even have to unpack that. We'll get into next verse, and then I'll explain it. Because, see, it's funny how some people hear the word faith. Like, that's a work. Like, that's a thing you got to do. Whereas, you've already illustrated, you know, faith is the opposite of works. It's not another work. It's just another term for something we do.
Well, what is the opposite of work?
Faith.
Sloth. Faith? I thought it was sloth. I thought it was laziness.
No. No, that's the sin that is involved in work. See, that's not the opposite of work. That is the sin that comes from a lack of work. But faith is a different thing, alternative, different thing.
May I ask another question as we set this up?
And by the way, I'm sorry, because I thought I just described it. Faith is not a lack of work. No, faith is actually the thing that will bring about truly good works.
Okay. Faith is not about works, but it works.
It works, exactly. Yeah, there you go. So we could tweet that.
There you go.
I'm going to tweet that. Say that again. So I can. Faith is not about works, but it works. Okay. As soon as I get done, we'll tweet that. I like that, Roland.
Do you?
Yeah, that was good.
I told you my
notes. This is the kind of stuff you can put on Twitter. It's not tweet it. It's Twitter, by the way. I'm sorry. People are going www.tweet.
Twitter
it's
Nation.
It's www.twitter. T-W-I-T-T-E-R. I'm sorry. Keep reading.
All right. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteous that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised.
All right. Oh, man. Oh, keep reading. Finish up that verse.
All right. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believed without being circumcised, so that the righteousness would be counted to them as well.
All right. First of all, we got two really, really significant terms. Sign, and seal. And these are just brilliant, brilliant words. And I want to say a word of thanks to Lenski. You know the guy named Lenski?
No, I do not.
You don't know Lenski?
No.
Oh, you go home and Google Lenski and go buy Lenski's commentary on the New Testament. You really need to have Lenski. He is very, very verbose. And if you can't sleep at night, grab one of his volumes, and within 15 minutes, you'll be sound asleep. And so I'm working on this text, because actually I do read the text in advance, looking over my commentaries, because I'm not that bright a guy, but I know bright. I know bright people.
You are well-studied.
You know? Yeah. And so I'm about done, ready to hang it up, and then I thought, I ought to just see what Lenski, and it's only six verses, see? Now, if you got a whole chapter, you're not going to read Lenski, because it'll take you all day, but six verses. And so Lenski came up with some really, really great things. I thought, yeah, this is it. How come I didn't see this? Number one, this actually doesn't come from Lenski, it comes from me. You know what the difference between a sign and a symbol is? Because what we have in circumcision is a sign, not a symbol. But it is a sign. That's the technical biblical term that is used for it, and ironically also for baptism and the supper.
Now, you may not be going this direction, but okay. I'm thinking that if you think literally, signs often contain symbols.
Well, they can. Yeah. Yes, they can. Yeah. But here's the distinction. A symbol is something you use to represent something that isn't there. Well, now think about this.
Okay.
So last Christmas, we did a Korean Christmas. We like to do that. Every year, we celebrate Christmas as it's found in a different country. And one of the things we learned on the internet, although since then I've learned that you can't trust the internet.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. You start cutting and pasting Bible passages, and they'll give you the wrong chapter and everything. But apparently, according to the internet, blue Santa Clauses are part of the Korean Christmas, okay? Having talked to people that lived over Korea, they said, all right, I didn't know that. But apparently in some parts of Korea, they have people dressed up as blue Santa Clauses. So we thought, well, this will be great. We'll have a blue Santa Claus. This will be awesome. Do you know that in the entire state of Missouri and Illinois, you cannot find a blue Santa Claus costume? All right. Now, there is a point to this, Roland. There's
all right,
a point.
All right.
If Matt were here, he'd press the little sound effect about get to the point. Yeah, it makes it more interesting for the listener. But... So what we did is we got a picture of a blue Santa Claus, and we put that up. Now, that's not a blue Santa Claus. That's a symbol of a blue Santa Claus. In fact, by the very fact that we had to use that picture indicates that we did not really have a blue Santa Claus. Okay. So that's what a symbol does for you. It's actually something that tells you we don't have the real thing. So we got to use a symbol instead. A sign, on the other hand, this is what's so awesome about the word sign, because people think of it as a symbol, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. So, yeah.
But no, a sign is actually the evidence that something is there. You just can't see it, okay? But the sign is the evidence that it's there, but it is a thing of faith, okay? So this is and by the way, the English translation is wrong here. It says the sign of circumcision, right? It actually doesn't say that. It says a circumcision sign. So there could be many, many different signs. Circumcision is just one of the many, many. It's not the sign. It is just a sign. Okay.
Well, see, when you were talking about seal, what I had in my notes here is what my mind went to was a notary.
Well, now hold that. Could you hold that thought? Because then that's where we're going. We're going then to the term seal. But before
we go
to
really
the term,
match the text. I really did prepare for that.
Before we go to the term seal, though, we have to understand that when he starts talking sign talk, he's saying that. Sorry.
That's Pastor Clark saying,
hey,
have a point.
Have a point.
Bring the bus into the station, my friend.
So as soon as we got sign language, you know something's there.
Yes.
But it's not going to be something that you can see. But this sign, this circumcision, is going to verify that something is there. Now, what is it that's there? It's a seal.
Okay.
Now go ahead and use your example, because that's a perfect example of what we're talking about. What were you thinking when you thought of seal?
Like a notary. You know, right. A notary attests to something. It verifies something.
Are you sure you haven't read Lenski?
I may have.
Maybe you did.
I may have been sleepwalking last
night. You didn't know, because here's exactly a quote from Linsky, and it fits in exactly with what you said. It was a seal. Seals are used for making something safe. So the tomb of Jesus was sealed.
Right.
Make it as sure as you can, Matthew 27. Seal in this sense, inviolability, is that how you say that? Inviolability? Yes, which is what you're talking about. Seals are placed on documents as an attestation. That's the exact word you used, you and Lenski, thinking alike.
Wow.
As an attestation to their genuineness. The Holy Spirit is the seal with which we are sealed in attestation that we are saved. Ephesians 1:13-4:30. Abraham's seal was such an attestation. In other words, the sign, which indicates there's something there, but you can't necessarily see it, is this seal that Abraham actually was a man of faith, that he was forgiven, that he was God's blessed chosen child. That's what it was. This was a thing you put on him, and now you know. You wondered about it? Well, I know for sure because I got the seal. I got the sign. It's attested to the word that you used. And so this is what I thought. Well, this is profound. This is beautiful. Okay?
Well, speaking of attest, they attest to what we believe, teach, and confess. Could you say that?
See, but then again, you want to bring it back into work.
Oh, okay.
You bring it back into what we do, what we believe, what we confess, see? And then you've got off the track again, because the sign, the seal, is the attestation of what God has done. Now, if you want to speak of what we believe and teach as what God has given us, He has worked that in us. Then I'd say, I could buy that. But I you got to be careful that the purpose of circumcision was to say, I did this. God said, I want you to be circumcised. So when people see your circumcision, they can say, oh, this is the guy God chose. This is the people that God selected to be a blessing to all nations, which, of course, is what we'll get on to if we ever get to the rest of this text. But do you see the difference? Because you've raised the issue before. Circumcision is not a work of obedience that we do. It's not a service we perform to God. So we can say, hey, God, look what we did. Now you owe us something. But rather, it was something that God gave to attest to what he'd already given, the blessing he'd given to Abraham. And in fact, it would be an attestation to all the blessings he intended and wanted to give to the Israelites. Okay? Now, of course, if you don't believe that, then what good is an attestation if you don't believe it, right? If you say, oh, that's phony, that's not real, well, then I guess it doesn't do you much good, even though the fact of the matter is the attestation is genuine and is true, okay? Because it came from God. And if God says it's genuine, well, then I guess God, who's going to argue with the Lord, right?
You got time? I got a list.
Yeah, I know, but it's foolish to argue with him because he's God.
Let's go to the phone.
John,
another John has been waiting patiently.
All right. Sorry, John. I was rambling.
Discussion here. Good morning, John. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor. I didn't consider that rambling. I really enjoyed it. One of the things that I've looked at here, it's kind of hit me as a ton of bricks just now as you were talking there. The parallels between baptism and circumcision.
Yes. Yes.
It kind of popped into my head here a second ago. Wow, it just really blows me away. What I was calling about was I, after reading this, and especially on the section of the promise realized through faith, after reading through these passages with you both and listening, I have found that these could be some very, very great passages to use and to read with friends of mine that believe that it's you know, you have to have the works.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I find this to be really something that it could really, I mean, this is an eye-opener for me, and, I'm thinking that this could be a really great section to read to those that that feel that we have to follow works.
And you know, John, doesn't it puzzle you? Because there are people like that, oh, no, you got to have all this, you got all this. And you wonder, what do they do with Romans?
Yeah.
But Ephesians and all these other passages that, yeah.
Right. I honestly, Pastor, I think they skip those sections. Because this is pretty blatant. I mean, Paul, I mean, he's laying this out. Here it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty, I mean, it's to me, it's pretty straightforward. But I just wanted to bounce that off of the both of you.
Well, I think what happens is they change definitions.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know, we use the yeah. same words. We just change the definitions of what it means.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, John, because I think you're right. I think literally, if you would follow the pattern of the scriptures that they would use, they do. They literally just leave these portions out.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that. Roland, if I may.
Please.
Yes. What I wanted to say, well, of course, to you both, and of course, to everyone there at KFUO. Here very, very soon, I'm going to be going to a different shift at work, so I won't be able to listen to you guys live anymore, but I will still, I most assuredly will listen to the archives, probably send you off some emails.
Do that.
I have to say, and Pastor, you've been involved in this, because I've been listening for quite some time now. The KFUO and this particularly this this Bible study show has strengthened me and given me you know, through our Lord, the ability to do some of these things you know, with certain passages and read them and follow them and to become a more, you know, open-eyed and things of that nature. And I just want to say that, Roland, you guys, through the Lord there, I mean, you do a wonderful, wonderful program. And I cannot say enough what all you have done for myself and my family. It has been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, John. It's, wow. That's
absolutely
wonderful. It's a privilege. And, you know, every day, you know, people say this, John, and it's absolutely true. I marvel every day that I get to, you know, work with the Word of God. And it was an answer to a prayer. Be careful what you pray for, John.
Sure.
Because there I was 6 years ago praying fervently that I wanted to have more time to spend in the Word of God. And then I found myself out of work.
Yeah, there
and
you
able,
go.
And then all of a sudden the station called and here I am. And it's... And to hear what you say, it's a remarkable encouragement. Thank you.
Well, I, you know, it's been an encouragement, like I say, for me also, because the family that, you know, I mean, I love my family dearly. We definitely have some different areas of faith. But you know, with myself, it has been you know, a true pleasure being able to not only, I mean, after listening, I mean, because of KFU and because of listening, I become more interest also in the LCMS church and you know, become a member. And I mean, it has been a wonderful, wonderful journey for me.
Well, if the listeners recognize your voice, we've taken that walk together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. And we're grateful for it. And we've prayed for you and your family, and we continue to.
Have a wonderful day, the both of you.
Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you in the MP3s.
Yep. I'll be around.
All the best. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and it is. It is that, as you pointed out before, too, it's just such a fundamental thing, because every other religion, sad enough to say, even within Christianity, has to do about works. And the clear testimony, which is why it's been exciting that you've chosen to do Romans, Roland, is that it testifies, no, we are righteous by faith. The blessing of forgiveness comes not on the basis of anything we do, but purely from the work of God, established by the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, giving his life as a ransom for many, and now being signed and sealed with circumcision. And as John alluded to, for us, signed and sealed with baptism. And the thing to recognize again, no, this is not a work. We're not falling back into works. No. And yes, it is a thing of faith. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But again, see, people want to turn faith into a work. Like, it's okay, so you have faith, and then I don't really know why we're doing baptism. I guess we're just throwing it in there because God said we're supposed to, and now all of a sudden we've fallen back into the works again. Whereas, what is it we believe? We believe that baptism is the attestation given to us by God that says we are his blessed, forgiven children. That's what we believe.
We are sealed in our baptism.
Exactly. Yeah. Because Jesus says through the Apostle Peter, baptism doth now save you. And I know we're going, well, that's crazy. How could water do this? And of course, Peter goes on to say, no, you dummy. I'm not saying that water does it. It's course of Christ, the righteous who gave himself up for their unrighteous. But this is the sign. This is the seal. This is so how you can know that everything that Jesus did on the cross, he did for you. How do you know that for sure, Roland? Jesus died for the world. God so loved the world. But how do you know for sure that when he died on the cross, he was dialing for Roland Lettner? And Jesus says, this is how you let people know. You go and make disciples by baptizing them. So they know. Yeah.
I wish.
They're the ones.
I wish we had a camera in here.
Is that right?
Because I don't know if you realize you did this.
What?
But as soon as you started talking about baptism, you took that bottle of water that's sitting in front of you, and you gripped it tightly with both hands.
Because I so much wanted to throw it all over you. But I realize you're already baptized.
No, that's a rebaptism.
That's right. So we don't need to do that.
Baptized once. And how about we finish the text?
Yes, we probably should.
All right. Back to the tiny print text of the Lutheran Study Bible. And we pick up at verse 12. And to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham, and before he was circumcised.
Yes, yeah. So again, he's just, you know, he's a great debater because he wants to keep driving home the argument. Think about it. Was Abraham blessed after he was circumcised? No, he was blessed long before he was circumcised.
Well, what do you do with, circumcision? I mean, do you consider it then in the Old Testament to have been just a ritual?
No.
And what
no,
about baptism? Is it just a ritual?
No, that's the whole point. He says it's a sign thing, which again is something you do that's evidence of something you can't see. The evidence that you is that God has forgiven and given grace and blessing to Abraham. It is a seal, and I loved your term there, the attestation. Because you see, so I get the thing that is been sealed by the notary, okay? Is the value of that notarization because I believe it? Well, it is for me, because if I don't believe it, I'm going to say, oh, that's just some kind of fraud and everything. So that won't help me if I don't believe it. But on the other hand, my believing it doesn't make it genuine. It's genuine because it's been put on there by a man who has been given authority and authorization to do that. That's what makes it something important to me, because it wasn't just Roland saying, oh, I'm going to sign this and say this is okay. No, but the notarization means, no, there's somebody that has authority to say this is okay. So our belief doesn't make it valid. Like I say, it can make it invalid, no doubt. If you don't believe it, then I guess it's not going to help you a whole lot. But what we want to do is help you understand it's valid because it's what God said and what God did. Now, here's the thing about the verses you just read. And I love these verses because Paul doesn't want to play the circumcised off the uncircumcised. He wants to say, look, circumcised, uncircumcised, both of them can claim Abraham as their father. Why? Because Abraham is the man of faith. And that's what both the circumcised and the uncircumcised have in common. And for the circumcised, their circumcision is part of that faith. It was the sign, it was the seal that God gave to them as Israelites. And they should be proud that they have that circumcision, because it means everything that God said it meant for them as well. And I hope and pray that the Jews believe that the circumcision that they received was a sign from God that he actually brought to fullness and completion in Jesus Christ. They do not have to go out and be uncircumcised. That is not a contradiction of Jesus Christ. That was part of the plan that God had for the Israelites. But the plan he had for the Gentiles, for you and me, for the outsiders, was a different plan. Same plan in that it relies on Christ's mercy and forgiveness, but different in terms of the sign and the seal that he has given us. And you know why I think that is?
Why is that?
Okay. I think God is a very practical God. Very practical God, okay? So God's thinking, okay, this will work out great with the Jews because they're my people. They've been my people from the beginning. So when they're little, they'll get circumcised. That won't be too big of a deal for them. There'll be some older ones, and that'll get some grumbling and complaining. But now I've got to go out into the whole world. I got to go out to nations that have never been my people before, you know?
Right.
So somehow I think if I go to all these grown-up adult males and say, you know what? You need to be circumcised. They're probably going to say, what about that Muslim faith? You know what? I'm thinking maybe Buddhism has some appeal that I hadn't thought. So I honestly think that God changes it because it's now going to be a worldwide thing. And baptism, the pouring of water, probably will be a little easier to accomplish.
And to your point also, this is why they circumcised children.
Yes.
Because they couldn't say no.
That's right. I was as a child. Were you circumcised as a child?
I didn't say anything about it.
No, I don't, but they just did.
Yeah, they just did. It was a hygiene thing.
Okay, you were giving me the minute. We better finish up this text.
Well, we did finish the text.
No, we go to verse 15.
Did we? Oh, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, my goodness. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. for it is the adherence of the law.
If it is.
I'm sorry, small print. I mean, bear with me here. Can I borrow your glasses?
Sure.
They look so much better than mine. You know who my optometrist is?
Who's that?
Walgreens.
Is that?
That's part of the problem here. All right, at 14. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. There's some legal terminology there.
Yes, there is.
For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Okay.
So we're all antinomian now.
So the first argument is he was blessed before circumcision, so obviously you don't have to have circumcision. Second argument is really God from the very beginning said he was going to be the heir of the world.
The heir of the world.
It wasn't just an Israelite thing. Behold, the covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations, it says. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So he's simply saying, go back and read your Bible again. It never ever said that Abraham was just supposed to be for Jews for the circumcised. It always was to be heirs of the world. And now we get into this next thing, which you're probably going to talk about in much more detail in the days to come. So what about the law? Why do we have the law? Obviously, the law is not the thing that gets you righteousness and blessing, because if it did, well, then the faith would be null and void, right?
Right.
Then there is no sign. Then there is no seal. There's no certification. It's null. It's void. Then your little notary here is invalid. It doesn't mean anything. It's only valid because of faith, because God says this is what it means. So he hints at what he's going to talk about, I think, in further detail. Having not read ahead, I'm not sure. But for the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. And when you get to Romans chapter 7, he will really flesh this out. That you think the law is going to make you righteous? No, what the law is actually going to do, if you let it do what it's supposed to do, unfortunately, we don't want it to do what it's supposed to do, it's going to show you that you are a sinner. That you really do need God to send someone to be your Savior. You want me to read that, Pat? Do we got time to read that real quick?
We have 2 minutes.
7?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it. Here's what he says in Romans 7. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because we actually had the whole covetousness business. Try to say that 10 times fast.
No, thank you.
There's a tongue twister in one of our gospel lessons. And I reflected on that. If someone doesn't come and tell you it's wrong to covet, you don't really realize. You think that's just normal. That's natural for me to want all this stuff. But then Jesus Christ comes and says, no, that's the source of your sin. There's your problem, because you're not satisfied with what you have, but you always want something more. And you think that's okay, but no, that is
and
sin.
And that's, let me see if I get this now.
Yeah.
That's why we like to cling to works.
Yes, we do.
Because we want something more than just the Word of God.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. There's an enlightening moment. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll tweet about that, too.
Yeah. 140 characters or less, right?
That's right.
So. Can't use, what was that word?
Covetousness business.
You're going to use up all your characters in just that
word
alone.
That's right, one word.
Oh, my gracious. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why we keep running back to works, because we're just not satisfied
with
the Word
of
God.
No, because we got to have more, and we think we're the more. And John the Baptist taught us so much. He said, we need to be less so he can increase.
Yeah.
That's what we need, less us, more of Jesus.
When God says you're okay by me, how much better does it get than that?
That's right. And then to think, Roland, that he knows, because we are such people of doubt, that he would give us signs and seals. See, that's what's really remarkable. Because it would have been easy for God to say, hey, I love you, just believe it. If you don't believe it, then to hell with you. But God says, I know it's so hard for you guys to believe that. So let me give you something concrete, something you can remember and think about, so that you know, though, you really are my beloved children. Yeah. So you got baptism. And then, of course, the beautiful words of the Lord's Supper, where he says, this is my body and blood given and shed for
you.
Yeah, what a great sign and seal that the Lord bestows.
That's Pastor John Lukumsky. Don't miss him with Pastor Clark, Saturday mornings, 9:05, Wrestling with the Basics, also from Trinity and St. Paul Lutheran Churches over in Illinois.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Always a blessing. I appreciate the lesson.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.